Last Sunday morning, we were with Elijah at the brook Cherith, where for many days, some think perhaps a year and more, that he was miraculously and regularly provided for and sustained with bread and flesh, provided by God through ravens, no less, miraculously, and also in a normal way by drinking of the brook Cherith's waters. God was looking after his servant, giving him bread and flesh and also fluid. However, a new situation developed. The water from the brook was drying up, and of necessity, a change had to take place if the prophet was not going to dehydrate. This period of famine that the children of Israel were experiencing had stretched into the whole land. The Lord Jesus said that. And it looks like, even from this passage that we read earlier, that it had gone outside of Israel as well. But at any rate, what kind of change would take place? Elijah was soon to discover that. When would it take place? He was going to learn that as well. And what we want to do in this new section of the book we're looking at just now is to see how Elijah coped with the need for change. There had to be change. He couldn't go on subsisting there if the waters of the brook had dried up. If there was no water, the man would have dehydrated. There would be great problems for him. There had to be a change. How did he cope with it? Well, we want to notice that today. First of all, we can see his coping with it in his submissiveness to what God had willed. God had willed something, and we notice that. Notice, for instance, in verse 3 of chapter 17, God says, "Get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that's before Jordan." That was God's will for him, to step out of the palace in Samaria where Ahab was located, King Ahab, and to make his way eastward and go to the brook Cherith that was before Jordan. God willed that when he got there, he would drink of its waters. God willed for the ravens to come, those unclean fowl that the Bible speaks of, that they would come and feed him day by day, morning and evening. God willed all of this, and Elijah had submitted to it as God required. When the brook was drying, Elijah may have had his thoughts. When he saw the water level going down, he might have said, "What now? What's going to happen here if I have no water? God has been sending the ravens to bring the bread and the flesh, but I need water. I can't do without water. What will happen here?" And human nature being what it is, he may have wondered what he was going to do. But God did not reveal anything to him further at that stage. The Bible says in that verse that the brook had dried. Verse 7, it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. So he's in a situation that a change has got to take place. But up to now, he's been entirely submissive to God. The brook is dried. What am I going to do? He's still there. He's still submitting. He might have, if he's like us, some of us, said, "It's time I was out of here." Or he might have said, "God must have forgotten me." Or even worse, "God must have abandoned me. Why has he left me here and the waters have dried up? If God had not deserted me, I would have heard from him before now," he might have said. Or he might have said, "If it is his purpose to sustain me, why has the brook dried up entirely? Why am I still here?" These questions may have going through his mind at a rapid pace, but in all of this, he was submissive to the divine will. Change was about to take place. Elijah did not know what, but in order to cope with it, he was entirely submissive to the will of God. This shows, first of all, a total dependence on the Lord. He might have said, "Well, God gave me the word to come here. He hasn't said anything about moving. And I can't move outside what he said." So there was a dependence upon God. And this is what the psalmist said. And maybe Elijah, since he has come some many years after David, maybe Elijah knew the writing of one of the psalms where David wrote in Psalm 31, "My times are in thy hands." He might have said, well, now David realized that his times were in God's hands. And he was a fugitive from Saul. I'm in a fix here. My times are in God's hands too. God brought me here. He knows all about me. I'll wait. I'll be submissive. There was an absolute dependence upon God. But let me say this. Not only was there total dependence on the Lord, there was exemplary patience for the Lord. We have noticed this in our motto text, where we learn from Psalm 37 and verse 7 that we are to rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. This is exactly what Elijah's doing here. And sometimes it can take a while before God moves, but God knows when to move. For instance, we'll not turn to it, but way back in Numbers chapter 9, and you can read this, you can check this out. The Bible says that the children of Israel never moved camp until the cloud began to move that guided them through the wilderness. And it was only whenever the cloud moved that they moved. And it was whenever the cloud stopped that they made their camp. And that could have been for a day, 2 days, or even a year, whatever. Numbers chapter 9 will give you the detail of that. And now Elijah is doing exactly what the children of Israel did hundreds of years later. He is not moving forward until the cloud moves. Or more precisely here, until God speaks to him. Are you in a situation, my dear hearer, where you're in a fix? It's difficult for you. You say, well, the Lord let me get into this. The Lord has permitted me to be here or brought me to be here. What am I going to do? I never thought it would work out like this. Don't panic. Don't make any wrong decisions. Seek the Lord. Wait for Him, because God is more concerned about getting His will to you than what you or I are of looking for it. Times. So if you're in a situation like Elijah, don't make a wrong move. Be submissive. Be patient. The God who allowed you to go into that will bring you out in His time. But notice, secondly, not only did he learn to cope with this needed change by a submissiveness to God's will, but also by his openness to what God might say. This is clearly implied. No action, no movement on his part until God speaks. The brook is dried up. He didn't get away out of the place to look for somewhere else. He's still there. He knows he's in a difficult situation until God works. All the while, he's patiently waiting and trusting. He was attuned to God. His ear was pricked and cocked for the voice that he longed to hear, ready to hear some word from the Lord that would guide him in his present crisis. And men and women and young people, that's exactly what you and I need to do. We need to have our ears attuned to God's word. And that's why I come back to this again. Are you a reader of the Bible? Do you only go to the Bible when you're stuck, when you're in a difficult situation? Or do you make it an important part of every day of your life? Every day. Not just, well, I'll get to read it a wee bit more often. I'll spend a wee bit more time with the Bible. Instead of reading it once or twice a month, I'll read it once or twice a week. My dear friend, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the way you take your daily food every day. Would you say, well, I'll take it 2 or 3 times a month. Or 2 or 3 times a week. No, you'll sit down every day and maybe have 3 meals in the day as far as your ordinary food's concerned. Well, Peter tells us. The psalmist tells us. Jeremiah tells us. The Lord Jesus tells us. Moses tells us. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God shall man live. And that's the spiritual Word of God, the spiritual food, this Word of God here, the Bible. And you need to get at it every day. Now, you're looking a word from the Lord. I've said this to us at different times, particularly in our Wednesday night services. Take the Word of God down. Stay in a book. Look for a promise from God. Start asking the passage questions when you read it. Is there a promise here for me to receive? Is there a blessing here for me to enjoy? Is there a sin here for me to avoid, to quit? Is there a command for me to obey? Is there a blessing for me to receive? Ask the Bible questions and God will speak to you in response. Get the word from the Lord. Feed on it. Have your ear attuned. But let me say something else. Not only in your own quiet reading, and that's so important, but whenever you come to church, whenever the Bible is read and expounded, ask the Lord to speak to you through the preacher. I can bear witness to this. Ever from I was converted, I always loved to hear the preaching of God's word. And I can bear witness to this fact, that many times God has spoken to me through the preaching of other people. I don't often get the opportunity to hear preachers, but whenever I'm in missions or in meetings and the journey is sizable, maybe an hour or so, it gives me great pleasure, especially coming home from meetings late at night, to put a CD on or something else. It used to be the cassettes. And listen to preachers. And I can bear witness to the fact, my dear friend, that I learned from God and heard from Him, was challenged and encouraged. And I'm saying, whenever you come here Sunday by Sunday and Wednesday by Wednesday, when the Word of God is taught, ask the Lord to give you a word while the preacher is preaching. It's only a waste of time coming if you're not interested in hearing what God has to say to you from His Word. That's why this pulpit is central here. Everything converges on this pulpit. We're gathered around the pulpit. It's symbolic. Why? Because the pulpit is where the Word of God is and is expounded. Or would you be like the Jews in the days of Jeremiah and Ezekiel? Let me read to you what happened in the days of Jeremiah. I'm reading from Jeremiah chapter 44 and the 16th verse, or Jeremiah 44, verse 16. Jeremiah had been preaching to the captives in Egypt at this stage, or the people who had escaped the captivity and went to Egypt. And he told them that they were doing wrong and some of the things that they were doing, and that God was going to deal with them if they didn't repent. Listen to what they said in reply. Jeremiah chapter 44, verse 16. As for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee. Flatly defying God. We're not going to do it, Jeremiah. We know that's the word of God that you have brought us, but we're not going to respond to it the way you want. We're not going to obey it. Now, in Ezekiel's day, they were a bit more subtle. Let me read this to you from Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 30 to verse 32. Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. So they wanted to hear what God was saying. Verse 31, and they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song, of one that hath a pleasant voice, and can play well on an instrument, for they hear thy words, but they do them not. More subtle than the Jews in Jeremiah's day. But it all amounted to the same thing. We're not going to do what God's word is as it comes through the preacher. Now, if Elijah had been like that, he never would have gotten a word from the Lord. Let your ears be attuned, my dear friend, to what God is saying to you in your private reading of the Bible day by day, and whenever you come to the services here where the Word of God is preached, ask God to give you an ear for it. That's why the Lord so often says, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." But there was a third thing with regard to Elijah. Not only the submissiveness to the will of God, not only his openness to the Word of God, but his responsiveness to what God had commanded. Friends, God did speak. Notice verse 8, 1 Kings 17, verse 8. Let's read verse 7 again just to get the link. "And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying," God did speak. The time had arrived for God to show his servant what the next step was. God spoke. And can I say again to you, and I'm speaking, I know, particularly to those that are pleading God's word about certain matters, pleading promises that God has given in his word, and there's no fulfillment of them yet. Let me say this again. God has his time. Whenever Zacharias was told that he and Elizabeth were going to have a baby, they were old and well stricken in years. Now, the time for having babies is early on in married life, generally speaking. Maybe exceptions. But they were old and well stricken in years. And one day, whenever Zacharias was performing his priestly duties, just in the ordinary course of his everyday responsibilities, the angel Gabriel stood there at the altar when Zacharias was offering incense. And a big crowd, a multitude outside, it was a public occasion. And that's when God met with a servant. And that's why I'm saying that in church services, God can meet with you as well as meeting with you in your private place at home. But God said to him, "You're going to have a child. Elizabeth's going to have a child. You're going to call his name John." And Zacharias was, I was going to say, dumbfounded. Well, he actually did become dumb because of his unbelief. He says, "How is this going to happen? We're old and well stricken in years." And Gabriel told him how it was going to happen. And then he said, "You're going to be dumb for a while. Because," and he was God's messenger, "you didn't believe my words that shall be fulfilled in their season." God has his time for the fulfilling of his promise. The vision we learned when we were studying the book of Habakkuk is for an appointed time. It will not lie. Even though it tarry, wait for it, it will surely come. It will not tarry. God has his time. And you can see that throughout the Bible. So now the time had come for God to speak to a servant again. What did he say? Whenever he did speak, what did he say? Well, notice verse 9. Verse 8, "The word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee." So the first thing he said was, "Elijah, you've got to take action. You've got to move. Time to move away from here. This place has served you as long as I wanted it to serve you. But now, you're on the go." And my dear friend, let me say this. There is always a balance with God. God doesn't expect us to be waiting forever. God wants us to put legs to our prayers on occasions. God wants us to move whenever he wants us to move. He says, "Elijah, time for action now." So keep this truth in mind. There's always balance in the Lord's work. It's wrong for us to try to do the Lord's work without praying. And it's equally wrong for us to be always praying but never doing anything about matters ourselves. There's always a balance. So first of all, what he said was the action that Elijah was to take. And then secondly, the location that he was to visit. Let's notice verse 9 again. "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Zarephath, it was said, was about 75 miles away from where he was. He had to make the journey on foot. And a famine. And Ahab, the king, was scouring the countryside looking for Elijah. And where is he sent to? Zarephath in Sidon, the country from which Ahab's wife Jezebel came. Notice verse 31 of chapter 16. It came to pass as if it had been a light thing for him, that's Ahab, to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. She was a heathen woman, a wicked woman. And now, God says, Elijah, I'm bringing you into the country where Jezebel comes from. And even though she is and her husband are out scouring for you, and she herself has killed many of the Lord's prophets, this is where I'm going to look after you for a while. Oh, God has ways of making situations very humorous. And this is one of them. But notice not only the action he was to take and the location he was to visit, but notice the provision he was to obtain. Notice what we are told there in that ninth verse. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman, that's verse 10. The widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. So there's provision here. But notice the end of verse 9. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. A widow woman. He might have said, that's not much better than a brook. A widow? How is she going to support me in famine? He didn't let it worry him. He was getting information from God step by step. And here he was told, you're going to be provided for again. Oh, my dear, here, this is tremendous. Notice something else about him as we come to a close. Well, in a few moments. Verse C, the 10th verse. Verse 10. I want you to see this. So he arose and went to Zarephath. No hanging around. Once God gave the word, up and away from that brook, the responsiveness was prompt. It was total. This is how he reacted to change, step by step, obedience to God's will as it was revealed to him. There's our example. How about you? Has God spoken to you about service? Is it time for you to take action now? Some form of Christian service? Going to the superintendents? Making yourself available for Sunday school work? Going to the children's leaders? Making yourself available for whatever help you can give there? Going to our bus leader, saying to him, is there any way that I can help you in the buses? Anything I can do to further the work of God here? Has God been challenging you about that? Is it time for you now to make a prompt response with regard to Christian service? Has he been challenging you about non-attendance at prayer meetings here? Time to make a response. Has he been challenging you about membership of the church, coming to the church for years, remaining detached, when it's God's will for people to belong by membership of the church? Is it not time to say, Lord, here am I, ready to do what you wish me to do? Will you obey? Will you obey promptly? And now we come to the lastly. We've noticed his submissiveness to the will of God and his openness to the word of God and his responsiveness to the command of God. Notice his peacefulness in what God had arranged. God says, listen, I'm going to have a widow woman to provide for you. Now, how was he going to find this widow woman in this city that he'd never been in his life? This city of Zarephath, where the people were unknown to him, and he was unknown to the people. Well, God was at work at one end, and Elijah was at work at the other. Elijah had to obey God and go to Zarephath, and then God would take care of the business at the other end. Let's see it working out here. I want you to imagine the journey of 75 miles or so. This city, this heathen city that he'd never been in, where the people didn't know him, he didn't know them. There he is, comes to the gate of the city. Cities had gates in those days. And the first thing we learn is an encounter takes place. Notice verse 10. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks. How would he know she was a widow? It was time for a test. So God had put the woman there, and she was gathering sticks for some reason, and Elijah was soon to find out what it was for. So he said to her, very graciously, notice the end of verse 10, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Now, to that woman's credit, bear in mind, tight times. Verse 11, she was going to fetch it. That was very exemplary of her in her need. She dropped what she was doing and went to get him some water. But Elijah needed a further test to apply, and in verse 11, he says as she was going, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. You've heard the saying that if somebody's going to be kind to you, people take advantage of it and put their hand in up to the elbow. That's what it looks like here, but it's not the case. Elijah was God's representative here. And he needed to find out more about this woman. Is this the woman that God has appointed to look after me? So whenever she was going, he called, says, go and give me that wee bit of bread. And she turned and said, oh, look at the pathetic. And I said that in the right sense. The pathos is here. Verse 12, she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. There it is, for me and my son, no mention of her husband, and we're just getting ready to die. Oh, times were so difficult. And Elijah knew, this is it. This encounter led to this heartwarming experience, this experience of relief, this ease, this confidence. God has led me aright. What an experience he had. God told me when I set out 75 miles back to come here to Zarephath that he would have a widow woman to sustain me. And now she's going to give me water and explaining to me why she can't give me the meat, but she's told me enough to know that this is the woman. What peace. Do you remember what God's word says in other instances? Psalm 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Many a step Elijah had to take before he got to Zarephath. But the direction and the location were right. God had ordered them for the servant. In Psalm 73, and verse 24, we read, thou wilt guide me with thy counsel. God had been guiding a servant. Psalm 32, verse 8, he says, I will teach thee and instruct thee in the way that thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. What an example for us. Are you in a situation where the brook is dry? You're wondering what's going to happen. There has to be a change. You can't go on that way. Don't hasten it. He that believeth shall not make haste. Don't make false moves. Wait on the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. He will come through for you. You'll find it to be so, as Elijah did. Wait submissively. Wait patiently. Be open to Him. Respond promptly when He directs you, and you'll come to know that His leading is right. And before very long, you'll say, this is the way that God had for me. I'm glad I walked in it. I'm glad I took it. His way is best. Or someone else said in God's Word, ask for God. His way is perfect. So let me say this as we close. We have come so far with Elijah. We've entered a new situation here in Zarephath. Oh, God is going to further bless this man. And He's going to bless this widow. She doesn't know it yet. But God has great things in store for her. We'll see them in the will of God. Be praying for the service. And remember, when change needs to come, don't force it. Wait for the Lord. Let's bow together in prayer.